Okay. Just by way of brief introduction to the Mises, there's a few differences between learning Kutchin and learning the more pedestrian parts of Shas. Even on the Daf of the Gemara, you have a few differences. Inside the text of the Gemara is the first problem. The actual text of the Gemara itself on most of the classic Yeshivish Maseftas is very, very misudar. In Tzmura, you have a lot more of conflicting Lishonos. The Girsa is unclear. The Machlokas is what the Girsa is. They're just like four lines that have some totally different Girsa if you look in the Shivim Gubetzes. Inside the text, you have a lot of Lishna Achrinas, which are, different Gersos more so than the other Maseftas. The Rashi and Tosfos are familiar to us. Rabbeinu Gershom is, not entirely unfamiliar. The Shittim Gubetzes, that's on the person left on the page, is the same Shittim Gubetzes for Bezalel Ashkenazi as we're familiar with from Ksubos, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, and some others. The reason it looks totally different is more because of the printers than because of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. When he wrote the Shittim Gubetzes on Kutchin, he covered, I think, pretty much all of Kutchin. When he wrote the Shittim Gubetzes, he wrote it similar to the Shittim Gubetzes on Bava Metzia. This is a Tosfos Rosh. This is a Gilyon Tosfos. He had less Rishonim to choose from. But he wrote in sort of paragraphs, like here's different Rishonim. And then when they put it on the side, so they, and he also had a few, like yourselves here and there, they sort of split it up and like interwove it into, as footnotes, the Gemara Rashi Tosfos. And some of the Ozvahadars, I think they brought it back to the old way and put the Vilna part in the back. So if I tell you Oz Aleph and you have an Ozvahadar, you can still find it by just going right after Daf Lama Gala. They put, according to the Vilna order, but they were Chadashim, they were Masorot or the Yoshna. But in any case, I'll stick with the letters, just because that way you can find them in any edition, even those will hover in the back. One of the other main differences, of course, is that there's no Rishonim on Seder Kutchin, with the exception of Sefer Skulin, which is obviously exceptional. There's no Rishonim on Seder Kutchin. The Rishonim here are the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam and Mishnah Torah, there's always even more important, always crucial, but even more crucial because it's basically the only Rishon we have. And there's a Rav Mordechai Ilan, and his son is a Rav Yaakov Ilan, if I'm not mixing them up, did us a great service and put together on a few Masechtas of Kutchin. They're hard to find, though. First, we put together Shittim Gubetzes with footnotes from the Ksav Yad, which is very nice, and with Lundish essays in the back, but impossible to find. And he also put together something called Knesses HaRishonim. I've seen Zvachim Menachos Me'ila and Tmura. I'm not sure if there's more or not, which is he collected Rishonim from all over Kol Torah Kula, not just the rest of Shas, but random places, like, for example, all the Ravids on Torah and Rashi Shas on Torah's Kohanims, which you have plenty on Kutchin, right? Torah's Kohanim. And he just put them in the order of the Masechet, and then he has footnotes. He's a Talmud of the Brisker Rav with beautiful, beautiful Brisker Lundus, if you like Brisker Lundus, which you should. So that's something which, if you can get your hands on Kesses Rishonim, it just fills in Rishonim, it's a very, very useful thing to have, and the footnotes are also worth their weight in gold. You definitely can't buy it freestanding. They haven't actually reprinted it for decades, but there's a series called Al Maseches. You've seen, you go down to the basement, you can find some on the shelf. You can buy. I want Al Maseches Moed Katan, and then it has like Rashi and Ksav Yad and Tom Yerkin Paris or whoever it has, and some Achronim. So there's an Al Maseches Tmura, which has the Knesset Rishonim as well as some Achronim, which if you can find in the Sfarim stores, don't have in all the Sfarim stores, but it does exist if someone wants to matriarch themselves to look for it. So that's very nice, the Knesset Rishonim. But if I'm assigned Knesset Rishonim on the Makara sheet, I'll be assigned where the Rishon is. Because I know most people don't have a Knesset Rishonim. Okay, and then the Achronim are the Sfas Emes is a, most of us are only used to learning Sfas Emes on Shabbos. But it's really, really, really great. Other than the Sfas Emes, there is, the Chafetz Chaim has the Likutei Halachos, where he basically did like a riff and like a basic, like with summarize the halacha l'maisa of kachim with small iyunim. The lakutei halachas, if you're learning like with Rashi and Tosos and with one or two achronim, is not really so necessary because it's just a very, very basic summary, which was what he was trying to do. In terms of the achronim, besides the Sfas Emes, you have the shirim of the Briska Rav, the stencil of the Briska Rav, which is not even stencil anymore, it's a nice print now. And the Briska Rav is beautiful on Tmura. I mean, really, like, if you just read through the Briska Rav, it's, you know, it's like you're learning the Tmura and Yeshiva Shalmala. Well, I will rely very, very heavily on the Briska Rav. So that's the Tzfas Emes and the Briska Rav are the main achronim. There's a million others. But those are the main sort of lumdish achronim that you might be interested in. Okay, that's a bit what to expect in this Masechet. The Masechet is about, a lot of it is about Tmura. And Agav Tmura, it talks about Vlados of Kachim, which are like Tmura, right? Also something that comes from the Kedusha. And Agav that, it discusses a few places, like we had 2 years ago in the beginning of Me'ilah, the status of various unique, weird situations, karbanos. You want to know whether they make a tour, whether they don't make a tour, and what their din is. So it discusses sort of the status of Kedusha of different cases of Kachim. We won't get to all those things. Dafka, in the beginning, has some kolator kuladik in Yonim as well, which we'll maybe go through a little more quickly. But that's what we have ahead of us. Okay, that's the technical introduction to the Maseches. In terms of a more hashkafic introduction to the Masechet, so I thought it would be appropriate to start by just looking at a few theories in the Mefarshim about what's so terrible about Tmura in the first place. Why do we need a Masechet about Tmura? The Torah, as you might have noticed, Hashem Yisbarach is not such a big fan of making a Tmura. It says twice in Parshat Mechukosai, right? No matter what the combination you do, better or worse, so A, Tmura, you're not allowed to do Tmura. That's the first Mishnah. So if it gets our button, well, first Mishnah, Kol Mamirin, Echanash Vechanashim, everyone does Tmura. Whether male or female, loshon rashi haver not kashon. It's okay to do tmura. Eloshem heimer mumer b'sofik is harbayim. Okay, good summary. The Masechus, right? A, the tmura is chal, and B, you get malchus. What does it mean the tmura is chal? Says in the pasuk, vayuhus morso yekodesh lo yigael. That obviously seems to be some sort of knas, right? That you wanted to switch animal A for B, and you end up with both animals being hektish. Exactly the nature is that is the most famous lumdus in the most famous hakira. The nature of Vayuhus Morso Yekodesh in Maseches Tmura, but I think we'll get to that next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. What's so bad about Tmura? So this seems to be machlokas among the Mefarshim. I have to thank Yoni for being Mitzayin the Chizkuni, which I had somehow missed. The Rambam, in a few places, the same thing in Mor Nevuchim, but here it's more Mefurish, in the very last halacha in Hilchas Tmura. Hilchas Tmura is the end of Seder Korbanos, Sefer Korbanos for the Rambam. So, you know, the end of each of the 14 Svarim, he ends always with something a little more Ashkafic. Sometimes even the end of a Halachos, but Lav Davka, but certainly the end of each of the 14 Svarim of the Yad, HaChazaka. So here, he points out that first of all, he says, what's the Ashkafic point? And this is a little similar to how we end Sefer Avoda at the end of Hilchas Me'ilah. He says, even though all the Divrei Torah are Gzeiros, right, and we accept everything just because it says so in the Torah, and, you know, we're not Reformed Jews. But nonetheless, if we can try to figure out the reason we should, and that's the Rambam's famous Akra in the third Chelek Gemara Nevuchim, that all the mitzvahs have reasons, and we should try our hardest to figure them out, even though we keep the Gzeira regardless. And he thinks, what's the reason for Tmura? So the Rambam thinks, fundamentally, he doesn't see a problem in Tmura. Fundamentally, what's wrong with switching? I owe a karban, a chatas, an ashim, an ola, whatever it is. So, what's wrong with switching for an equally good karban? And certainly, right, what's wrong with rabba, tov, tov, rab? What's wrong with switching for a better karban? So everyone thinks, fundamentally, there's nothing so terrible about switching. Well, I'm giving a karban. After all, there's a constant of pidyon, right? There's in kachim. There's a constant of pidyon in kachim. So there's nothing so terrible about switching. Just, he says, the Torah knows human psychology. Sometimes people are in a very generous mood and then try to back out. So I'll be makdish an expensive animal. And then I'll try to back out and be cheap and chasal mamono, and I'll want to switch it for a cheap animal, and that's obviously usur because I'm ripping off Hektish and stealing from Hektish, right? And you say, so why not just, why didn't Hashem just say we can make a tamura up? We could, l'shadreg, we can move up and not down. So he says, if you've ever been around human beings for more than a couple of days, you know, everyone's going to say I'm switching up, and they're really going to switch down, they're going to be more ahead to themselves, and they're going to end up giving Hashem a bad animal. That's the Rambam Shita, that Ikaron, there's nothing so bad about Tumura, it's just Xera, because people will end up giving Hashem a bad animal. Even if it starts by giving Hashem a better animal, it'll end up giving Hashem a worse animal. The Chizkumi, which thanks again to Yoni for pointing out, says something similar to the Rambam, but not logical. He says also, Ikaron, I hope this still is going. He says also, there's no problem with switching. It's even if it looks like I was Makdish a $100 animal, and I want to switch it and give a $200 animal instead. But maybe the $200 animal has something wrong inside, in the inner organs, and has a trefa, or something. And when we shecht it and bring it, we'll see that it's worthless as a carbon. So therefore, you never, even if psychologically you're stark, you never know when you might really be switching for something worse, because you can't tell what's really good, what's really bad, until you shecht it and take it apart. So that's similar to the Rambam. The Or Sameach, it's a little clever, but I'll say it over nonetheless. The Or Sameach, just because it does answer an authentic question. The Or Sameach, right there at the end of Hilchos Tumura, has a very clever vart, where he says it's base it all on Perek in Tanakh, in Tanakh, but it's okay because it's from Haftorah. Where he says the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Tumura, disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and Daf Gimel and Aleph. Okay, why he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and Daf Gimel and Aleph? The first Rambam discusses. It gives the correct analysis to that as well. We'll get to it. But the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Tumura, he says if you do Tumura, you get Sofik as Harbayim. That's Mefurish in the Mishnah. He says why? Because normally a Lav Shema Maisi don't get Malkus. Every Lav Shema Maisi don't get Malkus. Except for Mipias Shmua, we learn that there are three cases of Lav Shema Malkus, a Lav Shema Maisi where you do get Malkus, and that's what he says here. Pias Shmua Lav Nishko Mitzvah Lo Sasha Ein B'Maisa Ein Lokan Lav Chutz Mi Nishba Umeimar Mekalos Chavir B'Shem. Shoshlav Meilui Efshia B'Maisa Klav Lokan Olam. Okay, you don't get Malkus for any Lav Shema Maisa except for these three. Nishba, Meimar, and Mekalos Chavir B'Shem. So the Or Sameach asks, he says, well, how do we know these three? Again, from the Gemara, it sounds like Pshat and Gemara would not be like this Rambam. But how do we know these three? So it's Xeris Akasa de Darshan why Nishva gets Malkus, even without a Maisa. It's Xeris Akasa de Darshan why Makalel Chavir B'Shem gets Malkus without a Maisa. How do we know that Tumura, right, gets Malkus even though it doesn't have a Maisa? So I might have answered, halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's not a drasha. It's just, you know, it's a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. But the Or Sameach wants to find a makor that you get malchus even though it has no maisa according to the Rambam. So he says the Rambam's lishita say, how do we know Mekalos Chavir B'Shem gets malchus even without a maisa? Because the pasuk of malchus says, you get Malkus if you're not Yorei Hashem. Therefore, if you shame Hashem wrong, if you're Bevazah, shame Hashem, you get Malkus. So, Makal Chavir B'Shem, you get Malkus because you're in Bevazah, shame Hashem. Shvua, even though it has only mode, it certainly fits into that, right? You're Nishba, falsely shame Hashem, so you get Malkus. So, the Or Sameach wants to say a very clever vart. He says, according to the Rambam, what's the reason for the Issur of Tumura? Because you're going to end up giving Hashem bad korbanos. So, what book of Tanakh talks about people who give Hashem bad korbanos? Anyone? What? No, Yeshaya talks about the people who give Hashem good korbanos, but don't live up to it in the rest of their lives. That's the opposite problem. Say for Malachi. Right, and Sefer Malachi, what's the whole thing? The whole thing is that they're giving Hashem bad korbanos. Amar Hashem says, "Lachem Akwanim Bozei Shemi." You're Mevazah Shem Hashem. How are you Mevazah Shem Hashem? Ba'amar Tiv Mevazinu Hashemecha. Magishim Mitzvachi Lechem Megoal. Shulchan Hashem Nivzehu. They give me bad stuff on the Karbanos and they can be Zoyin out of the Mizbech. Evil is Rochim Ra Piseach. Right, and that's the famous pasuk from Lulav Hagadol. Right, Iveris Hapiseach. Vaveitim Gazul Sapiseach Yisocholeh. Right. So that's also here. So what does he say? He says we see from Malachi that what does it mean to you? What happens if you bring Hashem bad karbanos? Right? Lechem megoal. Lechem meaning not bread. Lechem meaning karbanos. So we see he says here that bringing Hashem inferior karbanos is considered bizoyon shem Hashem. Says that's why it gets malchus, since the reason for the lav of Isser Tmura is so you're not so you don't bring Hashem inferior karbanos, so you're not mevaz in the mizbeach. Therefore, that's considered bizoyim shem Hashem. So anyone who violates the lav of Tmura is considered a mevaz shem Hashem, and therefore is an exeris akasav that whoever is mevaz shem Hashem gets malchus. The yiras Hashem, the mevaz Hashem. It says Hashem mem b'chomish. Right, the Ravaz of the Shem instead of being Yari as Hashem, and that's why they get Malchus. Okay, this is a very clever Ur Sameach. I'm not sure if it's true or not. There are two options. Why the Rambam thinks you get Malchus? Again, the Gemara says you get Malchus because it has a Maisa. We're forgetting about that for now. The Rambam says you get Malchus even though there's no Maisa. One option is Halacha Mos B'Sinai, not Darshan from a Pasuk. The Ur Sameach has a clever option. The Rambam, L'shitase, says he wants to have a Halachic Nafgamina of the Hashkafa of the Rambam, since it's all about the Pasuk in Malachi, not bringing Hashem disgusting karbanos, therefore, that's considered Mora Shem Hashem. It's about Mora versus Bizayon Shem Hashem, and anything that's a din of Mora Shem Hashem gets Malchus, Alpi, just like Mikalo and Nishma. So all three of them are about Shem Hashem. Okay, could be. That's the Ur Sameach. Let's get back to the other side of the coin. So one side of the coin was the Rambam, the Chazkuni says, Bi'ikaram, there's nothing wrong with switching. It's just that you're going to end up, either psychologically end up giving something bad, or unwittingly, the Chazkuni, you'll end up giving something bad. However, the Chinuch seems to say a little different. Right? In the second paragraph of the Chinuch, he quotes the Rambam. And what does he like about the Rambam? He likes about the Rambam when he says you should always try to give tamim for the mitzvos, because that justifies, you know, a whole section of the writing of the Sefer HaChinuch. Right? That's the part he likes. Yizachar Rav Latova, Siyei Yadin, Dvar Vlach Mizos. He likes when the Rambam says you give reasons for the mitzvos, because he gives reasons for every mitzvah. That's a whole third of the Sefer HaChinuch is reasons for the mitzvah. But his reason seems to be a little different. He says, you want to have more Rebbe Kol Inyanei HaKodesh. You want to take Hekdesh seriously. When you take something seriously, you don't vacillate about it. You don't waffle about it. When you take something seriously, you make a commitment and you go with it. It's not because it's a better or worse karbon. Regardless of whether it's better or worse, if you keep switching it every day, then you're not taking it seriously. Then it's not really, that's not mora to keep switching every day. Everyone knows. If I keep switching something every day, then I'm not relating to it with seriousness. I'm taking it lightly. And I think for the chinuch, it's a more ekroni point. Fundamentally, tumor is bad, regardless of whether it's a better or worse carbon. Because when you take something seriously, you say something and you stick to what you said. I'm giving Elsie the cow, I'm giving Elsie the cow. When you switch it every day, even if you switch it to something equal better, when you switch it every day, then you're not really taking it seriously. It doesn't have the permanence. Ah, this is hektish? Whoa, this is hektish. This is something on a different realm. Nah, it's hektish today, tomorrow something else will be hektish. If you don't have permanence, you don't have seriousness. And for him, it's important that Hekdesh represents Hashem. I mean, here I'm adding a little. The main attribute of Hashem is permanence, right? If you want to take Hekdesh and really have that inspire you with the awe of Hashem, you have your permanence of Hekdesh also. And permanence means you don't switch it all the time. That's the chinuch. The fourth shad, with this we'll end the introduction, is Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch also wants to say, like the chinuch, unlike the Rambam and the Chizkuni, that it's not that switching would be okay, it's just that it might get worse. It's that switching is fundamentally inappropriate. There's something fundamentally wrong with switching a karbon. But he gives a much more detailed justification for this than does the chinuch. He says this goes back to the whole question of what karbonos are all about. In the beginning of Vayikra, Hirsch says, this is not a what he says at the beginning of Vayikra is not Chiddush Rav Hirsch. It's really found in the Ramban and lots of Rishonim. He says, what's the point of a karban? Again, what's the problem with the karban? The problem with the karban is that it is awfully, awfully, awfully similar to a pagan idea that it really looks like, right? What did the pagans believe? The pagans believe that karbanos are the way you feed the gods, right? Meaning I can eat regular food and I can eat regular food by going to the makolot and buying food. The gods, they don't have regular mouths. The gods can only eat food if we give it to them, right? So therefore, in order to feed the gods, we need to give them the karbanos, and therefore the experience of karbanos was really, more of a, really brought the gods down to our level, according to the pagans, and was more of a tit for tat. I'm giving you, so I scratch the gods back, and they will scratch, mine. That's what they believe. And this is mamash what they believe. If you look at, for example, the Epic of Gilgamesh, they have a whole story there about the Mabel, right? So Lechora, some pilgrims say that the Mabel never happened. But Lechora, the Pashup shot in history, seems to be that it did happen. Why? Because every single nation, pagan nation also has their version of the Mabel story. Okay, so we have the right version, and they have a version that they put their little kniches into. But they also had a Masorah of the Mabel story in ancient Ugaritic. They also had a Masorah of the Mabel story. They had a very, very different Masorah of the Mabel. I mean, they had the same basic story, right? But then they touched it up according to their Hashkafa. And what did they write? They wrote that after the Mabel, right? They also remember that after the Mabel, what's the first thing Noah did? Brought Karbonos first. And he brought Karbonos. So what do they say? Say, after the Mabel, he brought Karbonos. And good thing, because boy, were the gods hungry. They'd gone a whole year without eating. And he said it was like worse than Yeshiva Bachar and all you can eat papagayas. Right? They mamish said they swarmed like flies on the staff, fighting each other for the first bite of meat. So that was the pagan conception of a karban. And okay, fine. So you don't have to be an ancient Near Eastern pagan, from whatever old-fashioned myths. But you could be a little more sophisticated than they were hungry because they hadn't eaten during the whole flood. But still, the idea is that, right, that the pagan idea is that the gods need, or God needs your offering, and you're giving him something to help him, right? And if you help him, then he'll help you, right? So Rav Hirsch points out, this is not a Kiddush, right? It's Pasha that that's not what we believe, right? Rav Hirsch says in the beginning of Vayikra that Karban is not from the lashon of that we're makriv something to Hashem, and only in the simple interpretation. Karban means we are mitkarev to Hashem, right? But the whole point of karbanos is, again, this is not a fetish, this is Pasha Judaism, otherwise you're a pagan from thousands of years ago, that the point of karbanos is to bring us closer to Hashem, and not to give Hashem something that he, not to give Hashem something that he needs. You see, Agav, this is not a Chumash here, but you see even the Chumash, many times in the Chumash, it writes things la'afuke from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Oh, why did the Chumash write things la'afuke from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Because in many historical periods, the Jews might have, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would have tried to influence the Jews, so there's a few things which you find in the Chumash that you see are like to inoculate the Jews that they shouldn't be open to the tainus of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So one of them, interestingly, is that after Noah, what did it say? He brought the karbanos. Vayarach Hashem es reach anichoach, and Hashem smelled the pleasing smell. Why does Hashem say Hashem smelled the karbanos? Right? After all, God doesn't have a nose. So the answer is very pashut, because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah thought that God ate the karbanos. So the Torah has to say, God was happy with the karbanos. He was happy that we brought karbanos, but not in a way that he really got anything out of it. So therefore, the Torah says, it smells. When you smell something, are you really any better off? No. Like, does anything come into your body? No. When you smell something, you're happy that it's there. It's a way of representing that you don't really need it. It doesn't do anything for you. It's just you're very happy that it's there. And that's exactly what it's trying to say, so that when the Jews would learn the story of the Mabel when they're in kindergarten, and then their Kanani neighbors would tell them their version of the story, they would already know, of course, like, Hashem's happy with karbanos. Of course Hashem wants us to bring karbanos. but not because he gets anything out of it, not because it does anything to him. We already learned to get on Vayarech, he smells it, just like when I enjoy a nice smell, it doesn't help, doesn't do anything for me. I'm just glad that it's there, but it doesn't make me feel any more full, it doesn't supply any needs. Likewise, the Gemara don't supply Hashem's needs, he's just happy that we do them, and that's why Rashi always interprets Vayarech Shem Esrech Nechoach, Nachas Ruach, the fun of Shem Tziva Benassus Ritzono. Right, it's Nachas Ruach to Hashem that we are trying to be obeyed him. Not that it supplies a need. Okay, that's enough of Judaism 101. Says Rav Hirsch, what's the point of Karbanus then? The point of Karbanus is for me to be miskarev to Hashem. So Rav Hirsch says, in what way am I miskarev to Hashem through the Karbanus? So here he quotes from the famous Ramban, already in the famous Ramban in the very beginning of Vayikra, Vayikra Perak Aleph, where he takes on the more Nebuchim. The Ramban says that one of the main ways, not the only way, one of the main ways in which a Karban is Mekarev to Hashem is through the principle of a representation, right? The karbon represents me. I put myself into the karbon, right? What mitzvah do we have that comes out of Beis Aman Aleph, which really sounds like putting myself into the karbon? Smicha, right? What? Smicha b'chol kocho, right? I put myself into the karbon. And that's the point. The point is that I'm putting myself into the karbon. The karbon's going to Hashem, I'm putting myself into a karbon. There's a negative aspect of that, like maybe if I'm a big chote, I'm putting myself into the karbon and saying how I deserve to be killed for my chatoim and I really should do tshuva. There's a more positive aspect, you know. The karbonos are going to Hashem, so I'm putting myself in the karbon and I'm giving myself to Hashem. Right? You're makriv yourself to Hashem. Ultimately, the whole point of Judaism is to be makriv yourself to Hashem, not chas v'shalom, in the literal sense, in the physical sense of karbanos, but to give your all to Hashem. And that's how we give our all to Hashem, by representing ourselves with a behema. And rehearsed here, in this particular piece, he's trying to tease out the subtle difference between tmura and pidyon, based on the Gemara later on in tmura. But his main point is very clear. Now, all of this is not anyone's chiddush. This is all the Rishonim know this. But Rav Hirsch's chiddush, he takes this to Tamura and he says, what's so bad about Tamura? What's bad about Tamura is that it's turning Karbanos into the pagan idea of Karbanos instead of the Jewish idea of Karbanos. Karbanos are so important. They're the holiest thing in the Judaism, or one of them, right? The Kachim. Okay, so maybe Tam Torah, but they're certainly up there. But they could so easily be mistaken and turn into some ancient pagan primitive idea. So it says that's exactly the problem with Tmura. If the carbon is all about my dedication to Hashem, and the carbon represents me and my dedication to Hashem, then I can't say, oh, I'll give something else instead. Right? Then it's about my dedication to Hashem, not that I can give him something else instead. Right? If the carbon is about bribing God, then what do you mean? I'll give him a fatter animal, so it's even a better bribe. And he says, that's exactly the problem. When you do tmura, what you're saying is, the carbon's about bribing God and giving God a little bakshish. It's about giving God presents instead of about giving myself to Hashem. Because if it's giving myself to Hashem, I give myself to Hashem through this. So I'm going to give him something else instead. Then I don't want to give myself to Hashem. I want to keep myself. Instead, I'll give God, I'll slip a $1,000 bill into his pocket when no one's looking and he'll take care of me. So Rav Hirsch said, it's very, very deep, that the problem with Tmura is that you're turning Karbanos into a present for God, into a business deal, instead of into your dedication to Hashem, your personal dedication to Hashem. And once you've done that, you deserve to be selfless Harbon, because you've undermined the whole nature of Karbanos. Okay, so that's by way of introduction. Rav Hirsch actually says, and this is in general, Rav Hirsch explains this in his introduction to Chumash when he explains the difference between what the Rambam did in the Mora and what he's trying to do now. Okay, there's a lot to say about that introduction and what parts do seem more convincing, what parts don't. But one of the things for sure he says, when the Rambam gave the Tami of Mitzvos in the Mora, he didn't get into the Pratim. And the Rambam's beforeish about this. He says, when I give my explanations for the Hashgacha of the Mitzvos, I'm going to get into the Pratim. Because really, a good explanation has to explain, like the Pratim, the Halacha, Al-Pi Torah Shebal Peh, and Al-Pi the Gemara, not just the basic idea. And so that's one of the things he does here. He says very nicely, he says, why is there no Isser Tmura by Menachos Ve'ofos, only by Behemos? Because a Behemah is something which represents me, and it's similar to me. Menachos and Ofos don't represent me. Therefore, Menachos and Ofos don't represent me, So therefore, there's no problem of tumura. Menachas and ofos are... Now, there's what menachas and ofos are. Menachas and ofos are just ways of being mechabed the mikdash, are being mechabed the mikdash. They don't really represent me. Okay, there's more to say. Let's take back that sentence. Menachas and ofos don't represent me. A behema really represents me. A carbon behema is the real behema, where the primary theme is representing me. I'm in the behema. There's only smich in the behema. And a behema is an animal like me. Alright, behemoths are awfully similar to us in many ways. Therefore, tumura is such a problem. In menachas v'ofos, even though also menachas v'ofos are not pagan bribes, but menachas v'ofos don't encapsulate this theme of representing me. There's no smicha. They're not similar to me biologically. Therefore, having a tumura would not be such a problem. Menachas v'ofos, and he explains that very nicely, also explains nicely something we'll get to, which is that if there's a makdish and a miskaper, if I am makdish a karban for your kapara, right? You're a Nazar, I say, you know what, I'll sponsor your karbanos. Here, here's a karban. So who's the one who makes tmura? Means, who would, if they did tmura, would it be chal, and would they get malchus? So Gemara says, not the makdish, the miskaper. The miskaper is the one who has the isser of tmura said to him. Torah said the isser of tmura to the miskaper. So Hirsch says, that's what makes sense according to me. He says, it's not about wanting to be cheap with your money to Hashem. Then that would go on the makdish. It's about representing yourself. That's the miskaper. The whole idea of the miskaper is he's the one who's represented by the karbans. That's why he wants to bring that as a raya, that his reason is more beduyik in the pratim of the mitzvos against the Rambam. I thought that maybe the Rambam, I think I put on the sheet, would parry Rav Hirsch's raya from the miskaper, because the Rambam says mefurish. Why is the miskaper the one who makes the tumura? Well, not so mefurish, but it's practically mefurish. He says, the miskaper makes the tumura, but not the makdish. Lefishein and shalom. It doesn't belong to the makdish. The Rambam sounds like it belongs to the miskaper. That's why he makes the tumura. Meaning for the Rambam, it's about the owner. Just I could be the owner from the beginning, or I could be the owner because you gave it to me as a present. So the miskaper got a present from the makdish, but now that he's the owner, the lav should apply to him. Why? Because it's his property now. He is the owner. And if it's his property, then Hashem had to make this gzeira on him not to be cheap with his property. Even though it was only his property, he got as a matana. If I get property as a matana, I'm also cheap with it sometimes. But for a Hirsch, right, it's pashut why it applies to the miskaper, because the miskaper is the one who has to realize this theme of karbanos.
What about, like, you know?
That is a fascinating question, which I knew that's what you meant when you raised your hands. That is a fascinating question, okay, that has a lot to do with the whole idea of chatzaof, but we're not going to get into that now. We'll leave it for now. Okay, so that's just four ways of understanding what's so terrible about tumura. Yeah.
I mean, it's a two-time rule, but according to her, shouldn't the cutoff line be before or after smicha? Meaning it only represents you once you've done smicha.
No, I think you would say that it's representing me the whole time. It just, I have to, you know, I have to concretize that. Techa for smicha shchita. But it's there. Even her say the theme is there all along. I just have to concretize it and make it explicit, but it's there all along. Although I do hear the taina. Okay, now let's start the maseches. Hakol emir echem nashim echem nashim loshad rosh lohavi elishim hamer mumar v'sofeg es ha'arboyim. Okay, so we have to discuss a few things here, but the Gemara is going to discuss why is it in hamer mumar, and you know why you sofeg es ha'arboyim. But let's start with the Tosis question. Tosus asks, the sofeg is hard bayin. V'yem tomra, ma'ilu toni shmonim. Says, why sofeg is hard bayin? Shouldn't you be sofeg shmonim? Aren't there two lavim? What are the two lavim? V'lo yachli fenu, v'lo yamir also. So there are two lavim. And Tosus gives two answers. Daksiv lo yachli fenu, v'lo yamir also. V'yish lomar, lo nachas, l'mini malkiyos, lo kolomar, delokiyolei. First, Tosus has a tremendous chiddush. The first day in Tosus holds that taka your loka shmonim. Says that taka you get two sets of malchus. Oh, why did the Gemara say loka arboim? It's a little dumb. The Gemara says sofeg is arboim. Tosus says me shmonim. Because Tosus says no, sofeg is arboim. I mean, what Tosus means to say here, sofeg is arboim is a phrase. It's an expression. It's not meant to really count the malchus. After all, truth means not meant to really count the malchus. You don't get 40 anyway, you get 39. Mela, it's not really telling you how many malchus you get. It's just an expression they used to use. So there he says, the expression is your chayav malchus. How many malchus? So you're actually chayav 80 or 78 malchus. And the expression is lav davka. Okay, let's just
right? In Achanami, Loke Shmugim. The second day in Tosfos says, the Odish Lomar Jil Olma Loke Yelar Barim. No. It's still like, you could say it's just a phrase, it's an expression, figure of speech. It's a little dochuk to say that Sofik is Arbaim means Sofik Shmonim. So Tosfos the second day says no. Everyone else wants to defend Pshat in the Mishnah. Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah. Arbaim means Arbaim. So the Odish Shlomer the Olam Lucky Elar Barm Utrei Lavi Tzrichli Chad B'Karben Shalav V'Chad B'Shochav Eiro No Narmer Kol Rotsu Elohamer Yavo V'Yamir. So luckily the Masor Shas tells us that Tosfos is not making this up. Excuse me, it's in Furish Gemara and Daf Tesan Aleph in Gemara Darshins. Tana Rabbanan Lo Yachli Fenu B'Shal Achirim V'Lo Yamer Oso B'Shal Atzmo Lo Yachli Fenu means to switch. Switch means like for different people, right? Chalipin sounds like there's two different people involved. So that means I shouldn't switch my animal for my friend's animal. And in the end, the Gemara says it's talking about my chulin animal for my friend's hektish animal when he allows anyone who wants to be meimer in his hektish animal. And lo yamir, yamir means you switch something. It doesn't have a connotation of bindless of different people. Therefore, lo yamir means my animal, my hektish animal switching for my chulin animal. So Tosfos says that lo yachli fei, therefore, Mimanim Shach, you only violate one law. If I do tumor in my own animals, like the normal case, I only violate Lo Yamir. If I do tumor to my friend's animal, switch my animal with my friend's animal, and if I switch my friend's animal with my friend's animal, then I haven't done anything. Then I'm not looking at all. That's just silly. But if I switch my animal for my friend's animal, then I only violate Lo Yachli Fenu. So either way, I can only violate one law at a time.
Why bring both? Couldn't you easily make the Kal V'Chomer that if
the Gemara asked that question in Daf Tes, the Gemara, meaning Kal V'Chomer from Lo Yachli Fenu to Lo Yamir, right? If there's an Isser in my friend's animal, isn't Kal V'Chomer, there's an Isser in my animal. So the Gemara says, well, it's not 100% clear what the Gemara means, but the way most Rishonim interpret the Gemara said, no, there's a bit of a Chiddush in Lo Yamir also. What's the Chiddush in Lo Yamir? That besides the fact that Lo Yachli Fenu sounds like someone else, and Lo Yamir sounds like it's not dealing with another person, Yolei Fenu has more of a connotation of really, really a switch. So it says, if it only said Lo Yachli Fenu, I would have known that it's usher to switch any animals, but only if my kavana was really to switch them. But if my kavana was that I know both of them are going to stay kadosh, then it would have been mutter. So Yomer tells us that even though I know Yehud's more so Yakodish, and I know they're both going to be kadosh, it's still usher to even say that I'm switching them. So that's the Pashup Shabbat of Gemara there. Okay, we're going to Gershom sound a little different. We'll get to that now. So this is Tosfos. Second answer is Chad Bishalom. V'chad Bishel Chaveiro. Now again, there's just two ways of reading the Braisa on Daf Tes. What does the Braisa mean? Lo Yachli Fenu, Shel Acherim, Lo Yomer, Bishel Atzmo. Second day of Tosfos reads, Lo Yachli Fenu is a lav specifically for Acherim, Lo Yomer is a lav specifically for Atzmo. The first day in Tosfos would say no. Lo Yachli Fenu is marbed that the Parsha is even talking about Acherim. Lo Yomer is marbed the Parsha is even talking about Shalom. But both lav apply to both cases. Just each one of them is marbed a different thing for the Parsha. It's not just a Parsha, one pasuk. It's Marvit, the Pasuk is talking about a certain case. But in the end, the Pasuk is talking about the whole case. So the first day in Tosfos says, in the end of that Braisa, the Pasuk is talking about anyone's animal. Just each word is Marvit, a different thing into the Pasuk. Well, the second day in Tosfos says, no, Dafka, the first two words in the Pasuk are talking about someone else's animal, and the next three words in the Pasuk are talking about your own animal. Okay, that's two answers of Tosfos. What does the Maharsha answer? And a lot of Achronim like this answer to the Maharsha. Probably because it's a Mefurish Gemara. What does the Maharsha answer? Anyone?
One for one, then there's one
left. Right, one. What do you mean by that? I know what you mean.
But the essay.
Exactly. The Gemara says that this is a lav daftalim of days. This is a, well, okay. Definitely the first part of this Gemara said the daftalim of days. The Gemara considers v'yahus morso yekodesh to be an assay. Now, that might not have been pasha to us. We might have said, that's not an assay. That's just a fact. That's just a consequence.
But the Gemara, I mean, it is a consequence, that's clear. But the Gemara says that's mamash and aseh, and that's the Rishonim seem to agree. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah aseh. The beginning of Hilchos Tumura says there are three mitzvahs, two los aseh and one aseh. Los aseh tumura, different los aseh, which has nothing to do with us now. And the aseh, vayehu tumura so yekodesh. Okay, exactly how he formulates that aseh is significant, but we'll have to come back to that. So now the problem is, if there's an aseh, it's a lav hanitha klase, a lav hanitha klase should be potter for malkos. Right, lav hanitha klase should be potter for malkos. And now, that's the Gemara's question. And the Rambam is the same question on himself, which agav, you know, boosts the clever, but perhaps correct, answer of the Ursa Meach. If there's really a lochomos misina to get malkos for tumura, so who cares that it's hanitha klase? But if it's just learned from and los is our lasos, the Yiras Hashem, then that just gets around the problem of Malkus. But you still need to ask the question of, is it Nita Glase? So the Gemara says, isn't it Nita Glase? And in our Gemara, it's printed the answer, right? The Gemara says, V'meimar glavshin yilase hu v'loki, isn't it a lavin glase? So why do you get Malkus? After all, you fix it with the yasei value, hu smur so yekodesh. There are two laws in one assay, and one assay can't take away the punishment of two lavim. Meaning, you talk have two lavim, you should get 80, but there's one assay which makes up for one lav, right? That's the lavim you lavim. The assay makes up for the lav. Right, he's supposed to go, I stole, but instead of getting out, because I return it to make up for the lab. And likewise, the other case, I leave my nosar overnight, but instead of getting out, because I make up for it by doing the essay, burning it, I fix the situation. So, but the essay only fixes one lab, so 2 minus 1 is 1. That's the Marsha says in Chulin. He says, Shnei Lavin, Bechad Asay, simple math. 2 minus 1 equals 1. You're left with the onesh for only one lav. Right? The assay takes away one lav, and you're left with the onesh for one lav. And that's why you're so big, es ha-arboim. That's the Marsha, a lot of Rechon like that, because it's a Mefurish Gemara on Daf, Dalet, and Beis. And it answers very nicely why you only get one set of Malkus. As a matter of fact, in the back of Maseches Chulin there's some Achronim talk on the Marsha. So I saw there was a Muke Hagrib who asked, like, this answer is so obvious, why didn't Tosfos say this answer? Such an obvious answer, why was Tosfos bothered by the question in the first place? So
you can learn differently pshat in the Gemara.
Right, so the truth is some people have a different gears to the Gemara there. There's a different gears that Shinu has mentioned, which gives a different reason why it's not a lava nitzel asay. Because the lab applies even to Tzibur and Shukfin. And you should know, it's a good thing to know in our back pockets. The din of al Yahus Morsei Yakodesh only applies to a Yachid. If a Yachid is Meimir, then both animals are Kodesh. Shutfin and Tzibur, if you have behemoth belongs to the Shutfin or the Tzibur, then this din of Tumur doesn't apply, even if I say a switching all day long, nothing happens. Whatever's Kodesh is Kodesh, whatever's Chol is Chol, there's no difference coming. What?
Even if all the shufim do it,
it's just
Malkus. And there's no tumor.
Ah, okay. Whether or not they get Malkus depends on, might depend on whether you have this Gersin and Gemara. But one Gersin and Gemara says, since even the shufim and the tzibra have a lav, but they don't have the assay, therefore the assay doesn't count as connected enough to the lav. Okay, but the simple answer is what I think Simcha is about. Yeah?
Do we have a little bit of Tasha here? Because this is saying you did both. And so 40 are taken off for
the essay. The essay makes up for one of them, and you only get punished for the other one.
The Rambam brought that even if you only did one of them, you still.
Okay, so let's hold the Rambam. The Rambam's topic, a good question.
And two, also, he didn't do both. Most people, how are you going to do with the same animal both
hachlafa? Oh, and a chlamy. That's exactly the answer. You only get 40 because you can't do both, you can only do one at a time. That's Tosfos' answer. The reason you don't get 80 is because you can only do one.
According to the Marsha, what are the definitions of the two lavim?
According to the Marsha, the two lavim are coextensive, meaning they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing.
Entirely?
Yes, they entirely mean the same thing. Meaning, that's a good question. What is the relationship between the two lavim. So according to the first answer, Tosos, they're the same thing. According to the second answer, Tosos, they are two different cases. According to the Marsha, they're the same thing. What did the Marsha say? It's not me who's saying they're the same thing. The Gemara says you violate two lavim. The Gemara makes a general statement of dollar and days. As a general statement, the Gemara says you violate two lavim. So the Marsha says the Mefurash Gemara that you violate two lavim. Why? Because the two lavim mean the same thing. One word is a remez to achirim. One word is a remez to shalom. But in the end, they both mean you shouldn't switch. So anyone who does tamura violates a double lav. But luckily, since they also keep a single aser, they only end up with 39 malchus. Pashup shot is that the reason Tosfos didn't like this answer, maybe he didn't have the Kirsa in the Gemara, but the Pashup shot is that he's Rishi Tosse, that he says in Zvachim Kuf Yudal Rav Beis, that he doesn't think Pshat in the Gemara means 2 minus 1 is 1. Tosfos doesn't think Pshat in the Gemara is 2 minus 1 is 1. Pshat in the Gemara is that it doesn't match. Once it doesn't match, they're not connected. A double lav and a single assay don't match, and therefore the assay is not, the lav is not nitak assay. The lav is disconnected from the assay. That's why, how do I know this? Because Tosfos and Tamura says, you only say that it's a double lav and a single assay if the two lavim are written next to each other. If the two lavim are written in different parts, then the assay can even not take both of them. Meaning, 2 minus 1 is taka 0. Because it's 2 minus 1 minus 1 and 1 minus 1 is 0, according to Tosfos and Zvachim. Just when both lavim are put together, that shows that they overshadow the assay, and the assay doesn't affect them. So for Tosfos, it's not 2 minus 1. The reason Tosfos didn't like the Marsha is because he understood, do I have any other colors? How do you understand the Gemara in Daf Tesam and Aleph? Just let's backtrack a second. According to answer number 2, very pashut, that lo yachlifenu means b'shel achirim, and lo yomir means shalom. According to answers 1 and 3, the Gemara Daf Tes just means lo yachlifenu is a remez lidrosh shel achirim b'parsha. And lo yomir is a remez lidrosh shelo b'parsha. But they're not two different lavim. They're just two different remezim as to what the parsha means. How about the Gemara on daf dalet amud beis? So the Maharsha assumes what it means is that minus 1 equals 1. But Tosfos l'chor didn't think so. Otherwise, why would he ask the question if it's a Mefurash Gemara? Maharsha says the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, you started with 2, but you're going to have to take 1, and you're left with 1. So why didn't Tosfos like that? So the Ora Tosfos thinks that's not what it means. Tosfos thinks either a different Gersa in Gemara, but that's probably less likely, or Tosfos just had a different interpretation of what it means in Aseh is not Menatim 2 lavs. And Aseh doesn't match 2 lavs, because one thing doesn't match 2 things. And if one thing doesn't match 2 things, then it's not relevant to them. It's not connected to them anymore. And therefore, it's not menatik them at all. So he says, Chad Aseh is not menatik. He says this is about quality, not quantity. I'll say it even sharper. A regular assay is not menatic a super lav. What makes the assay regular? It's only 1. What makes the lav super? It's 2. And therefore, it's not menatic the super lav at all. Not 1, not 2, not halfway, not at all. It just can't stand up. It's not strong enough to affect that super lav. How do I know that that's how Tosfos would get out of the... That's why Tosfos didn't say the Gemara Shah. Because Tosfos Zvachim says, one essay is only not Menatik two lav, but the lavim are written next to each other. Why? Because if they're written next to each other, it's a super lav. If one is written by Yikra and one is written by Devarim, that's not a super lav. That's just the Torah repeats itself. right? But if the two essays are next to each other, what is that telling us? Not just quantitatively says it twice. Qualitatively, this is a super isser. This is a high-level isser. And the high-level isser can't be minutak by a regular lav. That's how Tosus reads it. That's how Tosus reads it. Therefore, 2 minus 0 equals 2, right? This is 0. It's not on the same level. A regular say is not on the same level as a super lav. Therefore, it can't be minutak it. And that's why Tosus didn't like this answer. Tosus had to come on to different answers.
If you call it that way, like the language is one super lav, then for sure you shouldn't get 8. It should only be 1.
Ah. Fine. If you want, I will call it a super Aveira. Right? But a super Aveira has 2 laws in it. Okay. You could actually, yeah.
What context is Tosus talking about Zachem? Like, why?
He's discussing what, he's talking about the Gemara and Torah, Daft Aleph and Beis. He's just saying, how come we don't say that same logic by, 1 second, what's his question? Here it is. How come we don't say well Sigzol and Mosashok are not benotted by the Heshiva Zagzeluk that's 2-1? The answer is well, Sigzol and Mosashok are written in different places. Here they're written in the same place. So it's clearly it's not just a matter of push it math. It's not a matter of quantity. Okay, the Grizz points out though that none of these answers seem to work for the Rambam. I think correctly so. Why? Because, first of all, can the Rambam hold like the first answer of Tosos? No, or not, because the Rambam does say, then he first says, call a memer loka al kol behem behema sheyomer. He's loka for each behema. Sounds like he's loka once. And then he says explicitly in Bays, he says, did I mean Bays? No, I meant at the end of Aleph. He says, "V'afilu him reshabes loka arboyim." Thank you. He says arboyim, and pashup shot is that he always means loka arboyim, right? He never says shmonim. Someone can argue with me if you want to.
He could say that he did both. He had 2 behemoths.
No, he says, fine, for each behemah you get your own 40 malchus, but for one act of Tamura you only get 40. That's against Tosos, first answer. First answer says you get 80 for each animal. So, okay, so the Rambam doesn't seem to like the first answer. This is radical anyway. It's against Pashim Shah in the Mishnah. How about the second answer? Maybe he holds up one lav is B'shalo and one lav is B'shal Chaveiro. So, can't prove whether or not he holds that, but he never mentions anything about one law being Shalom, one law being Shel Chaveiro, anywhere in the Sefer Mitzvos, anywhere in the Mishnah Torah. It's just, if he really held that, he should have said it someplace. He never says anything about being Shalom and Shel Chaveiro. I mean, just always says, Shenemar lo yachlifen of lo yomer oso. So it doesn't sound like he holds like the second answer either. Again, theoretically you say, he never hints or mentions anything about Shalom and Shel Chaveiro, but he really meant that answer? Yeah, but it doesn't sound that way. Yeah.
There's no question that it applies.
Yeah, no question.
Doesn't he say it has to be yours? Having to do.
No, it applies clear if your friend says, call the roads will hammer yav of yav. Only if he says anyone who wants it permission to be mayor. He explains that later on. Okay, he certainly doesn't hold like the third answer, the Marsha. He certainly doesn't hold like the Marsha's answer. How do I know that he certainly doesn't hold like the Marsha's answer? Because. At least Pashup Shat, because he says, even the Shutfin or the guy in Karbonot Tzibur who's Meimir, right, even though there's no Asay, right, gets Malkus, and he makes it sound like the Shutfin is similar to the Yachid, right? He doesn't say the Shutfin gets more Malkus than the Yachid. Shutfin doesn't have, according to Marsha, Shutfin should get 80 Malkus, right? Tzibur, meaning one guy in the Tzibur's Meimir, should get 80 Malkus. So according to Marsha, if you don't have the assay, you should get 80 malchus. The Rambam says whether you're a yochid who has the assay by Yehus Morsor Yekodesh, or whether you're a shutaf who doesn't have the assay by Yehus Morsor Yekodesh, either way, he makes it sound like it's the same. So he doesn't sound like it's any of these three answers. So the Brisker Rav points out here, says that's not a problem whatsoever. You don't even have to be nidchak and stick one of these answers into the Rambam, because the Rambam has a perfectly good answer that he said mefurish in the Sefer HaMitzvos. What did the Rambam say mefurish in the Sefer HaMitzvos?
It's only one line. It's different.
What, the Rambam in Shurish Test, this is a famous machlok between him and? And the Ramban, right? The Brisker points that out, or if you were in Wadi 2 years ago for Pesachim. Was anyone here for Pesachim? Okay, we got into this, Achol Potisa, etc. Right? The Rambam says before, his whole Shurish Test in the Sefer HaMitzvos is, I don't count the number of times it says something in the Chumash, I count the number of things that are usher. If it says, don't do Malacha on Shabbos, up to 39 times, then I still only count it as one. Because I don't care how many times it says it. I care how many things are usher. Therefore, the Torah tells many times not to be on a ger. It doesn't matter. It only counts as one. So the Rambam says, when I count the mitzvahs, I count how many things are usher, not how many times it says it. If the Torah repeats it, it still only counts as one. Okay, that's probably not controversial. Because if you count it every time the Torah repeated something, you'd have way more than 613. Then he goes on to say that, and likewise, Malkos are not for how many times it says it in the Torah. Malkos are for doing a thing that's usher. You get the amount of malkos of the number of usher things you did, not the number of times it said not to do it in the Torah. So the Rambam is mefurish that if it says something 8 times, you only get one malkos. It says something 100 times, you still only get one malkos. Malkos is per the wrong thing you did, not per the times, the places the Torah told you not to do it. And that's machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban says that's not true. If the Torah told you the same thing 5 times, you get 5 sets of malchus if you do it. If the Torah told you 3 times, you get 3 sets of malchus. If the Torah told you 12 times, you get 12 sets of malchus. That's a famous machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban in Shurish Test of Sefer Mitzvos, where the Rambam says you only get, even if it says it twice in the Torah, you only get one malchus. And the Rambam says there's a difference between when the Gemara says you're over in 6 lavim, or you get 6 malchus. If the Gemara says you get 6 malchus, that means you did 6 totally different things wrong. If the Gemara, which you can, right? A guy, a Kohen and a Nazir could go and plow, Beis HaKvaros with a Shor and a Chamor and Shvius and Yontif, etc., 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 right? El Tzulim Kedoshim, of course. And he could get a lot of malchus, right? And there's a little more. But that's because he's doing different things wrong. And that's what it means you get. But if the Gemara says you violate many lavim, that means that you did something really bad because the Torah told you many times not to do it. The Rambam says, I admit, if the Torah tells you not to do something once, or the Torah tells you not to do something 80 times, it makes a difference, right? It's a worse avera to do something the Torah told you 80 times not to do than to do something the Torah told you once not to do. That's shot in the Chumash, right? Shad in the Chumash, that the Pashim Shad in the Chumash, if Hashem told you not to do it once, it's bad. If Hashem told you not to do it many times, then he thinks it's really bad. But he says that doesn't affect how many mitzvahs it counts as, and it doesn't affect Malkus. It's worse if you do something the Torah asks twice. But you only get one Malkus. That's the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs. So what is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying the number of Malkus follows the number of mitzvahs you count, and not, right, the Rambam is saying is that the count of minyan hamitzvos goes together with the number of malchus, which has nothing to do with the amount of time that says it in the Torah. The times it's repeated in the Torah goes together with how chomor it is, which is called how many lavin you violate. It means how chomor it is, how many times it says in the Torah, how bad Hashem thought it was. That has nothing with malchus, nothing with the count of mitzvos. So now, let's take the Rambam. The Grizz said, the Brisker points out, there is no kash in the Rambam in the first place. You don't even need an answer. You can't actually give another answer for the Rambam, because it's obvious what the answer is. The Rambam says, "Kol meimer lo kol behem behem shigamer shenemer lo yachli fenu v'lo yomer oso lo yachli fenu v'lo yomer oso." It's counted as how many mitzvahs, how many losa says. We know the Rambam's count. He only counts it as one. If the Rambam only counts it as one, what does that mean? It's the Torah repeating something twice to show that Hashem thinks it's really bad. It's worse than something he only said once. But you only get one malchus because it's only one iser, even though it's repeated twice. So for the Rambam, he says it's obvious. You don't need any other answer. Says the Brisker Rav. This is not a chiddush of the Brisker Rav. It's mukhrach. That's what the Rambam holds. The Rambam says this is Rambam. L'shitase, he says haka, they both mean the same thing. So why do you get double malchus? The Rambam, l'shitase, that you only get one malchus, even though the Torah said it twice. Even if it's twice in the Torah, you only get one malchus. And what's the litmus test? How many he counts it as. If you would count it as two, you would get two malchus, because that would mean they're answering different things. Since he counts it as one, that proves it's answering one thing. And if it's answering one thing, you only get one malchus. That's the Rambam Shita. Everyone else didn't like this answer because they hold like the Rabban, probably. But the Rambam says very, very pashut.
Who counts it?
What?
Who counts it as one?
So Rambam counts it as one.
But in the Minyan of Mitzvot, he doesn't count it as one.
Yes, he does. The Rambam does count it as one. Absolutely counts it as one. What did he say in the Sefer Mitzvot? Anyone remember what lav number it was?
What's the second lav?
The second lav is something else. Shlo yishana kachim mikdusha l'kedusha. That you can't be makdash one carbon to be a different carbon. Nothing with tamura. It's the opposite of tamura. It means if something's a bechor, you can't say now it's a shlomen. Nothing. Yeah, it only counts as one. And in the Sefer Mitzvot, he counts it as one and says both lashonos.
Doesn't he have to worry about lavanita blessing then?
Ah. So the Brisker Rav says beautiful. He says it works out great for him. What does the Gemara say in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which the Rambam quotes in Aleph Aleph Hilchos Tumura? The Gemara says that at one asay it can only be benatek one lav. So he says the Gemara didn't mean, according to the Rambam, lefi the Griz. That's a good point. The Gemara didn't mean two malchuses minus one malchus equals one malchus, because there's no having to get two malchuses in the first place. The Gemara meant that let's say better. He says almost the same as the Marasha. He says almost the same as Marasha. Almost the same as the Marasha. 2 minus 1 equals 1, but not Malchus. Not Malchus, but Lavin. Remember, the Rambam says in the Shoresh, if it says something twice, it's 2 Lavin, but you only get 1 Malchus, like counted as 1 in the Minyan of Mitzvos. It says 2, there are 2 Lavin, not Malchuses, 2 Lavin with only 1 Malchus between them. Two lavim with only one malchus between them, and the asay is menatek one lav, not one malchus, one lav. So you're left with one lav. You're left with one lav, which is one malchus. But it's not that there's two malchuses and the asay takes away one malchus and leaves with one malchus. No, you start out with only one malchus. What's the proof? The Shutfin get one Malchus, even though they don't have an assay. But you have a two Lavin. He admits that it's more Chumrah because it's two Lavin. It's two Lavin. It's a double Chumrah. The assay takes away one Chumrah. And you're left with a regular Chumrah. You're left with one Lav. But it's not two Malchus minus one Malchus equals one Malchus. Two Lavin minus one Lav equals one Lav. That's a subtle difference between the Rambam and the Marasha. But again, how do we know the Rambam doesn't hold like the Marasha? Because the Pashut Pshat in the Rambam is that even the Shutfin, who don't have the essay, only get one malchus. That's the Brisker Rav's point.
When we say two lavin, we're like going back on, it's not like the quality of the lav is super bad. Maybe the same question as kind of before.
It's true that you could go either way, meaning you could stick the Tosfos into it also if you want. Yeah, you could go either way.
I think it's even more similar to the Tosfos, because in Lavin Itak last sentence, does the essay cancel out the lav or just the malchus?
That is actually a very, very fascinating question. Does the essay cancel out the lav or not the malchus? You know, there's a wild Tosfos Psachim. Is that what you're thinking of? Who says that it's actually perfectly fine to do the lav as long as you do the essay later. And it's not, you haven't done anything wrong at all, which is going
very far, and you certainly wouldn't apply in this case. You have to figure out why, which is not for now. But I hear the Tanya. Okay, you could go either way with that, I admit. Yes?
Is that the difference between Bittel Bittel or Kimo Kimo?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily, but Ein Kam Malkum L'Arich. We can discuss it later. Okay. I just want to point out, there's a very, very nice word the Stifler has here. The Stifler wants to say very wondrous words. Do you have to say this word? No, you don't, because you have plenty of answers. But it's a very, very possible word. Even though you don't have to say it, it's a very nice Hesber. The Stifler says a very lumpish Hesber. He says, based on one line of Daf Tesem and Aleph. This is, what do you mean by lumpish, right? Basically, what are the different shitas? Either Lo Yachlifenu, Lo Yomer are talking about the same thing, or they're talking about two different cases. Right? That's like a regular way to have one. Either they're talking about the same case or they're about different cases. Right? What's like a brisker way to look at things? Well, maybe they're talking about the same case, but different aspects of the same case. Right? That's a brisker way to look at things. So the Stifler says the Grizz doesn't say the brisker Terrence. The Grizz says I found a Rambam that sure said a safer mitzvah, so I don't need to say a brisker love. This is why I found the Rambam, which has a good Hesper. But the Stifler says here, he says, there's that one line, very funny line in the Gemara Daf Tesem and Aleph, which says, if it only said lo yachlifenu, not lo yomir, I would have thought that if you want them both to be hektish, then it's okay. Lo yomir tells you, even if you want them both to be hektish, it's awesome. Okay, there's more to say about that, if you look at Sfas Emes there. But, so the Stifler says, hold on a second. What's the difference in lo yachlifenu and lo yomir? Not just achirim and atzmo, but yachlifenu is like, you're taking away, I'll read you the lashon here. One second. Teitzei zol v'tikane zol. Start with the teitzei. Lo yachlifenu is about taking the kedusha off the first animal. What's lo yamir? Lo yamir is telling you, even if you want them both to be kedusha, it's still usher. It's usher to put the kedusha on, transfer the kedusha onto the second animal. So he says they're both talking on the same case. But, same case, but different aspects. Meaning, they're talking about the same case. A stam guy is violating lo yachlifenu and lo yomer oso. But with two different aspects of what he does, because what do you do when you do tamura? What do you try to do? Take the kedusha off animal A and put it onto animal B. Taking the kedusha off of animal A is lo yachlifenu. Putting it onto animal B is lo yomer. That's what the Stifler wants to say. Says lo yachlifenu is attempting, of course, take kedusha off of the first animal, and lo yamir is transferring the kedusha onto the second animal, which we call the tamura. Says they're both doing the same case, but different aspects of the case. One is focusing on taking the kedusha off of one animal, and that's why it's talking about shalachirim. When you want to switch with someone else, and certainly not happening it here, you want to take the kedusha off. Lo yomer is focusing on transferring the kedusha onto the second animal. That's why, even if you know that it's going to stay on both animals, it's still usser, because you shouldn't be transferring onto the second animal. Therefore, says the Stifler, and this is not, he's not necessarily saying this for the Rambam, although he has a different part of the Rambam, we'll get to. He says, Rabbi Yochanan says in Daf Gimel Aleph, if you're looking at Daf Gimel Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan says, about two-thirds of the way down, there's like a lot of two dots. Meimar, Amalei, Riochel, Tanel, Titni, Meimar, should be Rur, Basa, Maisa. Meimar is not Lashimo Maisa. Meimar is a Maiser. Tumur, you're doing a Maisa. What Maisa are you doing? You're making an animal Kodesh. That's considered a Maisa. Making a Halos Kedusha is a Maisa. What does the Stifler want to say? The Stifler wants to say that Lo Yachlifenu, Lo Yamir is Yeshmo Maisa. Why? Because you're doing a Maisa. You're putting Kedusha onto an animal. That counts as a Maisa. How do we know putting Kedusha onto an animal counts as a Maisa? Rabbi Yochanan said it up Gilon Beis, two-thirds of the way through. B'dibur ha-kavad Maisa. When you make a Halos Kedusha, that counts as a Maisa.
However, lo yachli fenu, taking the kedusha off, ein bo maisa. Why? Taking the kedusha off the first animal, ein bo maisa, because it doesn't come off. You tried to take the kedusha off the first animal, but didn't succeed, so you haven't done anything. Putting the kedusha onto the second animal, then you've succeeded, you've actually done something. So the stipulist is very pushing. He says, sure, there are two lavin, but one of them is yesh bo maisa, one of them is ein bo maisa, so you only get 40 malchus for lo yamer, which is yesh bo maisa. You don't get malchus for lo yachli fenu, which is ein bo maisa.
According to the second, this concept of lo yamer, or the whole thing of that, just making the second animal like the first, has absolutely nothing to do with the whole introduction we had before. What's wrong with Tamura?
Yeah, I was hoping you would ask that. that is an excellent question, meaning it has nothing to do with the whole introduction, which is why I'm a little bit attracted to the fact that Rabbi Gershel might sound like he's Gershel has a slightly different shot than Adav Tesam and Aleph, although I admit that's not mainstream. The mainstream shot is that Adav Tesam and Aleph, you learn, even if you intend they're both going to be Kodesh, it's still lesser. So I think what you have to say is I didn't want to get into this, but I think it's the Sfas Emes there, if I'm not mistaken, who says, it only means if you want them both to be Kaddosh, but you want to be Makar, the second one. You just agree the first one will still be Kaddosh, but you want to be Makar, the second one. So it's still Tamura, because you would know the first is going to be Kaddosh, but let's say you want to bring a Chattis. You know the first is going to be Kaddosh, but you want to be Makar, the second one instead. So it's still Tamura, because you're only going to be Makar for your Karban, the second one. And the first will just be Kaddosh, it'll have Kedusha. What will you do with something with Kedusha? I don't know, you're a cheat staif, chatos amesos, yiful and dava, you'll figure something out. So he says that it still does have to do with the theme, because it doesn't mean you want to be makar of them both. It means you want to be makar of the second one and let the first one stay in limbo. That's a chiddush. The pashup shot is even if you want to be makar of them both. And then I think you just have to say that it's a gzeira or a low plug. Since you're using the lashon of switching, even though you know they're both going to be kadosh and you intend them both to be kadosh, but since you're saying that you want to switch it, therefore it's still usher because, you know, today you'll say you want to switch it, then first of all, you're saying you want to do something wrong, even though you don't mean to do it wrong. You know, like, I'm doing something wrong, but I don't mean to do something wrong. So that's still not okay, right? Right, if I, Ingmar says, I can't steal, if you're poor, I can't steal from you in order to pay you kefel and give you a parnasa with dignity. Because even if my intentions might not be bad, since what I'm doing is bad, so I think that's what you have to answer.
Who's the stepper saying this with?
What?
Who's the stepper saying this?
I don't recall.
It doesn't work with the Rambam, it can't be Tosos.
Okay, you have to mind inside and see.
I don't understand conceptually if you intend both of them to be Kaddosh, how is that different from just being
Makdish? Because you say that you're switching them. I say this is instead of this, but I intend for them both to be Kaddosh because I know what the pasuk says that they're both can be Kaddosh.
It's bad language.
Yeah.
If the lav is made up of these two components, you don't have both components of the lav, you're not doing the entire thing.
Meaning in that case, I might only be violating one without the other in that weird case.
So why are you chayav malchus? You haven't done the entire lav.
No, because there's two lav them. I've done lo yamer, which is the malchus one.
But there are two parts of one lav.
No, there are two lav them. There are two lavin. That's Tosa's question. You can get any malchus. No, we're not in the Rambam now. They're two different lavin.
No, we're not in the Rambam.
No, no, the Kisai is not in the Rambam. I don't think he's in the Rambam anyway, because the Rambam doesn't even say that it has a Maisa. So I think that he's not in the Rambam. Yeah, he's not in the
Rambam. The Stavros molded that they're two separate lavin.
Yes, yes. Yes. Okay. That is Tosfos and Rambam. So fig. Okay. I just want to briefly, let's just look at one line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. Amar Hakol Miurim Lachachila. The Lashon Hakol Miurim certainly sounds Pshuta Shal Mishnah like Lachachila. Everyone can do Tamura. The Hadar Tani Lo Shadim Rasha Lahamir Dieved. And then clearly the Mishnah is Bidieved. Right? So why did the Mishnah first use Lashon Lachachila and then a Lashon of Bidieved? So, as Mar says, the Kashal Chaziz and Tikshal Kra. What is your problem with the Mishnah? Forget about the steal of the Mishnah. It's against the Pasuk. Hakol Miurim Lachachila. The Pasuk says you can't. Now, obviously, Hakol Miurim doesn't mean Lachachila. I mean, can't go against the Sefer, can't go against the Pasuk. Right? Hachi Katani, Hakol Matfisim Bitzmura, Echon Nashim, Echon Nashim, Loshan of Rashi Lahamir, Elshim Hamir Murim, so is our Baim. Hakol Miurim doesn't mean Hakol Miurim, means Hakol Matfisim Bitzmura. Doesn't mean everyone can Lachachila do Tzmura. It means everyone, if they do Tzmura, it counts. whether they are male or female, it still counts. And Bahayu Husmur so Yiyah Kodesh. Okay, this is a bit of a funny Gemara. There's a long Tosus here. Maybe we'll just summarize it very, very, very briefly, without getting into all the shaklataria. But the Gemara is like a little funny. First, it's saying it's a lashon lechachila, and then it's just saying stam. No, it's not a lashon lechachila. It's really a lashon of hakol matfisim b'tmura, that everyone's tmura is chal. If they try to do tmura, it's chal. So why did they use a lashon lechachila in the first place? Right. So Tosus starts out. He starts out with saying a side question. Right. If we know that a kol mamirin doesn't have to be lashon lechachila, what was their question here? He says, the question here was that it doesn't have to say b'di'evet twice. Sefer says b'di'evet. The reisha must mean lechachila. Okay, fine, valid question. Now, so the answer is the reisha didn't mean lechachila. So why did it say it? I mean, why say hakol mamirim if it doesn't actually mean anything? It doesn't mean lechachila. It doesn't mean to add anything. It's not in the sefer, right? The sefer already told you. You should have just said, right? A kol hameimir mumar v'sofa gesarbaim echad nashim echad nashim. Why do you need hakol mamirin? So what does Rashi answer in Chulin? Right, the Gemara here brings the Tosfos brings three answers. What's Rashi's answer in Chulin? Why Taka doesn't say hakol mamirin if it doesn't mean it? Exactly. Rashi says, Loshom Tanoim Kach. He gives a technical answer, a literary answer. Yeah, the Loshon of Tanoim is Hakol Mimirim, and therefore they use that Loshon. So why do you have to go back and say Vimheimer Mumar? So why not just say Hakol Mimirim? Hakol Mimirim, Vesofik is Harbon. That would have been pretty clear. Hakol Mimirim means anyone who does it, it counts. And obviously, it's not much of a chachilah because you get 40 malchus. So what does Rashi add? Why did it have to say the seifa? It's to teach you that you have malchus even most like Shimon. Well, Maisa, exactly. Loshon Torah Kach, and the seifa is to teach you malchus even without a Maisa. So why do you have to say Elishim Hamer Mumar? Because as a segue to introduce the Lashon Sofa Gazarban, you have to say in Hamer Mumar. Okay, that's a bit of a weak point. But Rashi basically says the whole point is just that you get Malkus even though there's no Maisa. Everything else is just the intro to that. Why do they have a double intro? First they say Akol Mamir because it's Lashon Tanoim. And then in Hamer Mumar is like a good segue, right? And then you have to say in Hamer Mumar is to match Sovig Esarbaim. Okay, so the only Kiddush, I mean, obviously the Kiddush that you got Malkus out of Maisa, and everything else is just the literary reasons. Okay, Tosfos is not so excited about that. He says, no, look, in our Gemara, it sounds like they're really trying to say something here. Haki, why did it say it? Because it has to say it to really teach us something. So Tosfos says, no, the Lashon is teaching us something we don't know. What does Ravina Tam say? Ravina Tam, the real parallel. Ravina Tam says, no. The Lashon of Hakol Mimirin teaches us a Chiddush. That's why it's there. It's not just Lashon Tanarim. It's to teach an extra Chiddush. What's the extra Chiddush? That even B'mezid, it's still, the Tmura is still Kadosh. Even B'mezid, the Tmura is still Kadosh. As a matter of fact, there seem to have been some by the Gerson or Gemara that it said, some Gersos of the Gemara, Tosfos in Chulin, sounds like the Gerson or Gemara of Hashmitan, Hakol Mamirin Tur Echad Beizid Echad Shogeg. That's the Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? He says, Hakol Mamirin is Lashon Lechachila. Lechachila is the same as Mezid. What does Mezid mean? Someone who does Lechachila, right? So a Lashon of Lechachila is a remez to a Lashon of Mezid. Right? I did it Lechachila. I did it B'Mezid. Hakol Mamirin. Everyone who thinks it's okay to do it totally. Everyone who does it Lechachila because their lifestyle is to violate the Torah and do Tmura because they don't hear what it says in the Torah. Nonetheless, Imhamer Mumar. Nonetheless, Imhamer Mumar teaches us a Chiddush that even B'Mezid, the Tmura is still Kadosh. And then he just asks a question. Doesn't the Gemara say, Yidil Rabbi Shogeg, that the Shogeg is the bigger Kiddush? So he has a very big Kiddush of Rabbi Baruch, which we're not going to get into yet, that here's talking about it being Kiddush. And there, it's talking about the Malkus. Shogeg is a bigger Kiddush, yet Malkus. Mezid is a bigger Kiddush than it's Kiddush. Why? He said, Kotz, Arban, Mekasve, Bekashin. You did an Aver of Mezid in the Torah. Why should that lead to Kiddusha? Right? Why should you be able to bring a carbon that comes from an Aver of Mezid?
Therefore, that's a big kiddush. You can bring a carbon that comes from Avera, bin Mesid. Says, even if you don't take a bit of Baruch Nir, you can say no. The fact that it's kadosh as a knas is a bigger kiddush b'shogeg. B'shogeg, bigger kiddush, that even though you're a shogeg, it's still kadosh. Not just a knas, you didn't know what you were doing, it was a tolos. That it's kadosh is a bigger kiddush b'shogeg. But that it's kosher l'hakrava is a bigger kiddush b'mezid. So kadosh v'kosher l'hakrava. That, he says, is the ikker. Meaning not just that it's kadosh, that it's kosher l'hakrava. What do you mean? This was born in sin, right? I created this through an aver b'mezid. Something I created with a tainah. If you want to say it's kadosh, I shouldn't benefit from it. Fine. I created with an aver b'mezid, it should be a kosher carbon, it should go to ratzon al mizbeach Hashem. That's a big chiddush. I call mimirin, even someone who does it because they are mimirin lechachila and they don't care what the Torah says and they're a rasha rusha. Even though that person creates this tamura through an act of rishus gomer because they totally don't care what the Torah says, nonetheless, in hamer mumar, and it can go up on the mizbeach and it still has a valid kedusha. That's Rabbeinu Tam. The Re in the Shidduch of Besa's version of Tosos points out that Rabbeinu Tam is based on a whole gemara. On the whole Gemara in Menachos, I think. And it doesn't really mean what he says it means. The Re says a little differently. What does the Re say? The Re says, the truth is, it's almost the same as Rabbeinu Tam. He just says it's got to be closer to the Lashon of our Gemara. First of all, he doesn't think Mezid is a bigger Kiddush. Just because you do something wrong doesn't mean we shouldn't think it's a Kasher Karban. And it's got to fit with the Lashon of our. What does our Gemara say? Amar Yehuda Hafi Katani. What's the Kiddush? Our Girsa says, Hakol Matfisa Mitzmura, Echad Anashim, Echad Anashim. He says, what do you mean? You've got to stick with what it says in our Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam sticks, Hakol Mamir, Lechachila is a remez to Mezid. The Mezid is someone who does have Eros Lechachila. The Re says, no, don't stick with the Lashon of the Mishnah. Stick with the Lashon of the Gemara. Echad Anashim, Echad Anashim. So the Chiddush is, say, the Chiddush is that even Tumuras Nashim is kosher lehakrava is karev. Exactly. Why? Because there's a half mean a woman wouldn't do tumura. Why is there a half mean a woman couldn't do tumura?
As the Tosu says.
Well, what does Tosu say? Because it's all the Lashon Zachar, and the Shidduch gets this ad based on the Gemara later on, and now it's Lashon Zachar, but since it doesn't apply to Tzibur, it doesn't apply to Shufim, then it's already restricted, so anything but Lashon Zachar that doesn't apply to everyone. Mestam doesn't apply to women. So you would have thought it doesn't apply to women, yet you have a reboy that it does apply to women. So you might have thought it half applies to women. The half of being kadosh applies to women, but the half of being makrovit doesn't apply to women. So you might have thought that Rishon Noshin Darbal Kamdulim Darbalash Zakyomary Noshin. Sakli Ahanim Yutva Hanikuri, Ahanim Gulishin Tumor Snoshin Kochi, Hanim Yutal Karvan. You might have thought the tumura of a woman is like half kedusha. There's kinds of half kedusha that are found later on in Sefer Tmura that are kaddish but not kari because they have too much kedusha to be able to use them for secular purposes, but not full kedusha, so you can't be makar them. So you might have thought a woman can only give it half kedusha. So that's kamash. Well, no, a woman gives it the same kedusha as a man, and it is kari. Okay, that's three. There are other diukim. We can be making this tosos. Maybe we'll leave them for when we get to the relevant parts of those diukim, and we'll pick up next time here at Hashem with the Gemara of Yoresh and Smicha, etc. Just one important scheduling note, I will not be here Thursday for the regular scheduled shiur, so we'll do it Wednesday 11:30 instead of Thursday morning. So I'll pick up Wednesday, Mirza Hashem, 11:30.